Tonight we're going to be looking at the book of Acts, chapter 8. We're back online here, so we're good to go. That song by Lisa Tracy is so wonderful because it reminds us of the things that we've been blessed with and who we are today in this world and the things that Jesus did, he said that we could do also. And the book of Acts really records the rise and expansion of the Christian church. There was a lot of things that happened. A lot of signs, miracles, and wonders. And yet, interspersed with all that, there was, definitely some persecution, which, you know, Acts chapter 7 records what happened with Stephen, and ultimately that it led to his death. And verse 57 of Acts chapter 7, it says, "And at this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he fell on his knees and cried out, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Does that remind you of another record where somebody forgave his accusers and forgave those who said, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? Mm-hmm. Stephen said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I'm reading from the New International Version. Your versions, whatever they may be a little different. Chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "Saul was there." Saul was there. And as we know from further study, Saul recorded here is the same as the great Apostle Paul, who was witnessed to by Jesus Christ himself on the road to Damascus, and we'll catch up with that record at some future point in time. But Saul was there giving approval to his death, and it says, "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison." This was not a pleasant individual. This was a man who had determined his mission from God was to find Christians and have them either put to death or committed to prison. Not the type of person you would want to have coming into fellowship. Verse 4. "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. And when the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said." Verse 7, with shrieks, evil spirits came out of many. "And many paralytics and cripples were healed, and so there was great joy in the city." So when the crowds heard, verse 6, "Philip, and saw the miraculous signs that he did," they all paid close attention. They're like, hey, there's something to this. He isn't just speaking words. He's performing these miraculous things. And they saw that, and they said, hey, there's something going on here. And devil spirits came out of many, and people who were paralyzed, and people who had crippling diseases were healed, and it says there was great joy in the city, as I can well imagine. Verse 9, "Now for some time there was a man named Simon. He had practiced sorcery or witchcraft in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention. They exclaimed, 'This man is the divine power known as the Great Power.' They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic." Interesting, because people just are so enthralled with the supernatural. And this is an example of the supernatural on the other side, the negative side. And they had amazed them a long time, and they were building his ego and inflating him up, saying, "This man is the divine power of God." But when they believed Philip, verse 12, because remember, Philip's around here now, and he's preaching the word. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And lo and behold, Simon the sorcerer himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. So they spoke the word, and then there were these signs and these miracles that followed in the wake of this powerful boldness and this manifestation of the Spirit of God. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, and when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. So a better understanding is that they got born again, but they did not receive the Spirit into manifestation. No one had instructed them about speaking in tongues. So Jerusalem gets word of this. That's kind of like the headquarters where the leadership was. They heard about this. They sent Peter and John. It says when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, because they had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. To be baptized means to be fully immersed. Now, whether these people were baptized in water or not, we don't know. It doesn't say that. But I do know that the word baptism means to be fully immersed. In verse 17, it says, then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received. I'm sure that's the word lambano. They received into manifestation the Holy Spirit, not God himself, the gift from God, the Holy Spirit, small h, small s. And how did they know that? How did they know that? They heard them. They saw them speak in tongues. Verse 18, and when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he said, I got to have me some of that, because I want the power and the ability to do that. And he said, hey, give me this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. And I'm willing to pay for it. How much do you guys want for this so that I too can have this ability? And Peter had a surprise for Simon. He said, may your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart, for I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. In verse 24, kind of cool. Says, and then Simon answered, pray the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. And verse 25, and when they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. So along the way, they were stopping, they were preaching, and they had quite a report to give when they went back to Jerusalem, because I'm sure folks were interested. Hey, did they receive the Spirit into manifestation? You know why? Because that was the standard. When people got born again, they spoke in tongues, just like they did on the day of Pentecost, right? They're gathered in the temple at the hour of prayer. The Spirit comes, just like the promise Jesus said, Acts 1, wait, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8. Let's have a quick look at it. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Well, how about that? It says that when these gentlemen returning to Jerusalem, it says they were preaching the gospel in many what kind of villages? Samaritan villages. So that was definitely a fulfillment of that prophecy and revelation that Jesus had given in Acts chapter 8, after 1, because he said, you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea and Samaria. And so on their way, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, different record, go south to the road, and the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And the Spirit spoke unto Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Verse 30, Philip ran up to the chariot. You know what? It's interesting. These guys were hearing from God and listening, and then they were following through on it. The Spirit told Philip. God told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And, you know, Philip somehow, I say this kind of jokingly, Philip heard the voice of God. He didn't even question it. He didn't say, was it God? Is that you? Is that my own mind? I mean, really? You want me to go over there? I mean, what am I supposed to do when I get there? And no, he just simply heard it, the word, and did what? He went. And he didn't just go. Verse 30 said, Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked, and 31 says, how can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This reminds me of a really interesting record that maybe some of you have heard before. In 1981, I met a young lady in a laundromat the day before Resurrection, we'll call it Sunday, who was reading the Bible. And I had a very similar conversation with this young lady at that time to see if she was understanding what it was that she was reading. And it came to a very wonderful conclusion. And actually, this young lady is on the phone with us here tonight. Her name's Jan Booz. Many of you know her. But we had a similar conversation, kind of like understand what you read. And then it went on from there. And I was able to explain some things to her from the Word, enough to really satisfy her interest at the moment. But then, you know, we developed a further relationship, and eventually, you know, she ended up getting very involved in the things of God. So verse 32, and you never know. I was there cleaning windows. I see somebody in there reading the Bible. Got to believe God just inspired me, and one thing led to another. Verse 32, the eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Verse 35. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture, and I believe he's referring to Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. Philip began with that very passage of Scripture, and he told them the good news about Jesus. Well, you talk about an open door. He just simply began to ask a couple of questions, and then one thing led to another. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel until he reached Caesarea. This is a really interesting record. And, you know, I think we've learned from our studies in the Word that other sections of the Word have to agree with other similar records. And so when Philip is explaining this particular experience to the elders in Jerusalem, he recounts the story about the whole experience with the eunuch. But when it comes to this thing about baptism, it follows and it says, then remembered I the word of the Lord, and that it really wasn't necessary for this eunuch to be baptized with water to have the full Christian experience. I know there's a lot of different doctrines and philosophies and thoughts about all this, and I'm not degrading or taking away anybody's belief in whatever it is they believe in. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens at the moment a person is born again, because they are completely immersed in the full work of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, they can speak in tongues and operate all nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And they can walk and talk with God at that moment. But a person is limited by what he knows. And so, you know, it's been our role through the years, and many of you as well, if not all of you, to continue to progress, to share with new folks who don't know, and possibly other believers who just haven't been completely fully instructed. Doesn't mean they're not a Christian, doesn't mean they're not a wonderful person. A lot of different issues that we could bring up and argue with people about. That's not our heart. That's not our desire. It is to love people and help them to come into a greater and more fuller understanding of who God and His Son Jesus Christ is. And the point and purpose of these records is to show each and every one of us the power of the Holy Spirit that we have within each and every one of us. Just like Jesus, we take His place down here on this earth. We are the living Christ. Christ can be in 100,000 different places at one time. We preach the word, and God confirms the spoken word with signs, miracles, and wonders that follow. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank You for the love of God that we have that moves us, Father. It's the very foundation of everything that we do. What an inspiration it is to read about these believers in the early church who just simply believed and walked in the strength and the power of the Spirit. They didn't even stop to analyze it. They just went. And there was so much joy that came as a result. So I pray that we're sermons that can be seen, Father, not just we're not just talking about it, but we're actually doing and being in those places where wonderful and good and glorious things happen. So we pray, Father, for a time of reflection about what we're sharing, and also a time of just being more determined to look to You to open doors, and then, Father, to listen and to take advantage of those opportunities when they present themselves. And we pray in the powerful and wonderful name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.